No other book has so profoundly impacted so many lives as the Bible.
Welcome to Simply the Bible, the Through the Bible teaching program of Pastor Daryl Zachman of Calvary Chapel, Treasure Valley. Today we begin the book of Joel. A terrible invasion of locusts gives opportunity for Joel to prophesy about the future day of the Lord. In light of what is coming, what should people do? We hope you join us as Pastor Daryl begins the book of Joel on Simply the Bible.
How bad can things really get? Sometimes we think things can't get worse, only to discover that we were wrong. Joel prophesied during a devastating plague of locusts. But as bad as circumstances were, they would only get worse. And yet, Joel did not prophesy without hope. There was something the leaders and the people could still do. But were they willing? We begin now the book of Joel, chapter 1. The word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel, "Hear this, you elders, and give ear, all you inhabitants of the land. Has anything like this happened in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Tell your children about it. Let your children tell their children, and their children another generation, what the chewing locust left, the swarming locust has eaten. What the swarming locust left, the crawling locust has eaten. And what the crawling locust left, the consuming locust has eaten." And so the word of the Lord came to Joel. He was a prophet, and his name means Yahweh is God. Now, we don't really know much about Joel. We don't know when he prophesied. There are commentators who are all over the map on that. Some believe it was in the 9th century BC. Others think it happened after the Babylonian exile. We really don't know, but we do know that he was a prophet to Judah. Now, he begins by calling for the elders. "Hear this, you elders." It all began with them. The leaders needed to take notice of what was going on. Warren Wiersbe writes, "In our own times, the nations of the world are experiencing severe droughts and famines, frightening epidemics, unexpected earthquakes, devastating floods, and other natural disasters, all of which have greatly affected national and global economies. Yet very few people have asked, what is God saying to us?" And it all begins there. And that's why Joel was saying, "Look, hear this, you elders, give ear, you inhabitants." So not only the leaders, but also the inhabitants of Judah. Has anything like this ever happened? As they looked around and they saw such great devastation from this terrible locust plague, they had not experienced anything like this before. And so Joel said, "Now tell your children and let them tell their children and so on to the future generations so that people will notice what God is doing." Now, he speaks here of various locusts. He actually uses four different words for locusts: the chewing locust, swarming locust, crawling locust, and consuming locust. We are not quite sure what the Hebrew words mean, and so different people have interpreted this in different ways. Some see it as just the natural development of the locust from like the larva stage to the crawling stage to the flying stage and so forth. Others just see it as there's going to be various degrees of locusts that come through, and what one locust leaves behind, the next group will consume until there's nothing left. For sure, the idea here is that there will be locusts upon locusts until there is nothing left. "Awake, you drunkards, and weep, and wail, all you drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it has been cut off from your mouth. For a nation has come up against my land, strong and without number. His teeth are the teeth of a lion, and he has the fangs of a fierce lion. He has laid waste my vine and ruined my fig tree. He has stripped it bare and thrown it away. Its branches are made white." So Joel calls for the drunkards to awaken from their stupor. Why? Because, well, they'll be the first ones to notice that there's no more wine because the grapevines have been consumed. "And a nation has come against my land." Now, is Joel speaking figuratively of locusts that are like a nation? Or is he looking ahead to a nation that would come upon the land? Certainly, he will be looking forward to a nation that will invade the land as we get into the book a little bit further. But it seems right here that he's simply speaking of the locusts themselves being like a nation with teeth like a lion and laying waste the vine, the fig tree, consuming through the bark until the branches are made white. Lament like a virgin girded with sackcloth for the husband of her youth. The grain offering and the drink offering have been cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests mourn who minister to the Lord. The field is wasted. The land mourns, for the grain is ruined. The new wine is dried up. The oil fails. Now in Israel, a virgin could be betrothed to a man, and they would be considered married, even though they had not yet consummated the marriage. So Joel says, lament like a virgin who's betrothed, who's lost her husband. Her fiancé has died, and now she is greatly sorrowful. In the same way, you need to lament for what is happening here, because the offerings have been cut off, and the priests are now mourning. The priests, of course, were dependent upon the people's offerings to be able to offer the sacrifices to the Lord, but also they were dependent upon those offerings to feed their own families. And so Joel is calling them to mourn. There's no more grain, new wine, or even oil. Be ashamed, you farmers. Wail, you vine dressers, for the wheat and the barley, because the harvest of the field has perished. The vine has dried up, and the fig tree has withered. The pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree, all the trees of the field are withered. Surely joy has withered away from the sons of men. So the farmers, too, were to be ashamed. Now, normally they would be proud of the crop that they were bringing forth, but now there was no crop. The wheat, the barley, the grapes, the fig tree, the pomegranate tree, even the apple trees and palm trees, nothing was left. And so there was complete devastation, and joy had withered from the sons of men. You know, it's terrible when people give up hope. I heard an alarming statistic this morning that Idaho ranks 10th in the nation for per capita rate of suicide. Obviously, many people are without hope today. Yet we have so much. But why are they lacking hope? Well, hope is only found in a right relationship with Jesus Christ. And that is why we need to be those who are radiating hope to a hopeless world. Verse 13, gird yourselves and lament, you priests. Wail, you who minister before the altar. Come lie all night in sackcloth, you who minister to my God. For the grain offering and the drink offering are withered from the house of your God. Consecrate a fast. Call a sacred assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God and cry out to the Lord. Now, during the recent COVID-19 pandemic, as people wrestled with the many upheavals and mandates, I saw lots of people blaming others, but I did not see many people calling for national repentance. And yet the same God who sent the plague of locusts in Joel's day takes responsibility for sending pestilences. When devastating catastrophes, new diseases, natural disasters, and failing economies occur, shouldn't we look beyond people and consider that perhaps God is seeking to get our attention and calling us to repentance? And so Joel called for the priests to lie all night in sackcloth. They couldn't bring forth the offerings because there were no crops, there were no animals that were being offered, but they could lie before the Lord all night in sackcloth. Now, because Joel addresses the priests in the house of God, it is evident that he was a prophet to Judah, and they were to consecrate a fast and call for a sacred assembly. In the next chapter, he calls them to blow a trumpet in Zion. Now, the only fast that was prescribed in the law was on the Day of Atonement, but the leaders could call for other times of fasting during times of great tribulation, enemy threats, or great sorrow. According to 2 Chronicles 7:13 and 14, this was God's own prescribed method for bringing healing to a land torn by plague, pestilence, drought, or enemy invasion. 2 Chronicles 7:13, when I shut up heaven, and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. They knew what to do, but were they willing to do it? And I think that we know what we must do. Are we willing to do it? Are we willing to call for that fast and pray and turn from sin and seek the Lord until he hears us and until the Lord comes and brings righteousness to the land? Verse 15, alas for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as destruction from the Almighty. Is not the food cut off before our eyes? Joy and gladness from the house of our God? The seed shrivels under the clods. Storehouses are in shambles. Barns are broken down, for the grain is withered. How the animals groan. The herds of cattle are restless because they have no pasture. Even the flocks of sheep suffer punishment. Now, the day of the Lord is an idiom used to describe the swift and decisive nature of the Lord's victory over his enemies. Sometimes it involved the judgment of God's own people. Other times it involves the judgment of foreign nations. It most certainly describes the cataclysmic judgments that will occur in the world during the Great Tribulation. Here it seems that Joel uses the day of the Lord to describe the immediate locust plague, but he would also use the phrase as a springboard to future events, including an invading army that would soon come into Judah and the gathering of the nations in the future battle of Armageddon. O Lord, to you I cry out, for fire has devoured the open pastures, and a flame has burned all the trees of the field. The beasts of the field also cry out to you, for the water brooks are dried up, and fire has devoured the open pastures. Joel did not pronounce doom and gloom upon the nation because he lacked concern for his fellow Jews. On the contrary, he was deeply grieved and cried out to the Lord in deep anguish. Everywhere he looked, he saw devastation that affected even the animals. All the crops were burned from the locust plague and subsequent drought. What could they do now except earnestly cry out to the Lord? And what can we do in our day as we are seeing the consequences of unbelief and immorality? I pray that we, the church, would be so moved today with compassion for those who don't know the Lord and seek the Lord in earnest prayer. Perhaps it's not too late for our nation to turn back to the living God. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do just thank you for your word. We thank you that even when you warn us, it's for good reason. And I pray, Father, that we would take notice of the things going on in our world around us, that we would listen to the Spirit of truth. Father, where we have turned from you, I pray that we would turn back. I pray that you bring prodigals back home, back into your arms, Lord. And if we have strayed, Lord, if we have grown cold in our faith, Lord, I pray, bring us back. May we cry out. May we even call for a fast and prayer and earnestly seek you until you come. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Simply the Bible, the Through the Bible teaching program of Pastor Daryl Zachman of Calvary Chapel, Treasure Valley. We are happy to announce that we are building a new facility in Southwest Meridian. For more information or to give toward this project, please visit calvarytv.org/buildingproject. That's calvarytv.org/buildingproject. To listen to previous episodes, check out our Simply the Bible podcast. Tomorrow we will see the characteristics of the invading army in the great day of the Lord. Joel calls the people to turn to the Lord with all their heart and consecrate a fast, for who knows if he will turn and relent. We hope you'll join us as we continue in the book of Joel on Simply the Bible.